Let's come in on the right wing. Here's Riley Smith in the slot. In front of shot, they score! That's Pacioretty! Right circle for Marchessault. He shoots, he scores! From the right dot. 3 goals in 4.5 minutes. 4-2 Vegas. Saved by Fleury, sliding across with his left shoulder. Knights ahead, Carrier on a break, down the slot on the backhand, he shoots, he scores! William Carrier, 5-0 Vegas!
And welcome in Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio, your home for Vegas Golden Knights hockey. Frank Harness, Ryan the Hockey Guy Wallace, out at Lindo Michoacan and Desert Inn just east of Easton. And we're out here for the show today because we got a game tonight against the Winnipeg Jets.
It's going to be an exciting one. It's a fun game. I'm really looking forward to this one. It's a measuring stick game. It's a benchmark game. It's where do you fit in amongst the best in this conference, and Winnipeg is certainly one of those teams. The Golden Knights believe that they are one of those teams, and the Golden Knights might be one of those teams not fully healthy. So when it's used as a way of measuring where this team potentially could be at the end of the season heading into the playoffs, this is one of those games that's going to go a long way as determining how good the Golden Knights really are.
Of course, last time out, we saw the game in Chicago where Vegas came back from down 2-0 after the first period of play, won the game 4-3 in overtime. Theodore gets that overtime game winner. Carpenter, a big goal in that game. A well-rounded, gritty performance by the team. But like you mentioned, the Winnipeg Jets, not just the fact that Winnipeg, one of the top teams in the West, but also the last time that these two teams met each other, it was for the Western Conference Championship. The Vegas Golden Knights won that series to go on to face the Washington Capitals in the Stanley Cup Final. The Jets thought that they were the best team last season, so they've got this game circled. Oh, and by the way, one of the Jets' best players last year is now a Golden Knight.
Yeah, I mean, Paul Stastny was certainly one of those players that made the Jets even deeper than they already were, and a lot of people thought that that key acquisition at the trade deadline was really going to push them over the edge to a Stanley Cup Final appearance, and they got past the Nashville Predators in one of the best series of the playoffs last year. I don't know if you want to throw this excuse out there. I don't know that the Jets are going to throw this excuse out there, but the series they had against the Nashville Predators likely took something out of them.
I agree.
And it's just one of those things. It's natural in sport. And you look at the Golden Knights, yes, San Jose was a tough test, but the Golden Knights were able to handle the Kings in 4 games. It only took 6. They only played 10 games heading into that Western Conference Final. And you look at the road that Winnipeg and Nashville had to try to get there, and it was a tougher road. It really was. So I think Winnipeg wants to prove something. They are a team that wants to prove something. They've got a bunch of guys, a ton of depth. But they're missing Dustin Byfuglien, and that's a huge loss for this team because – what the Golden Knights can do is really pressure the defense on the forecheck. And if they do that well, it's going to be a longer night for Winnipeg than they want it to be.
All right, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio, your home for Golden Knights hockey. We have tickets for the Pittsburgh game coming up this Saturday, so stick around. I know everybody wants to come to town and see Sidney Crosby and Evgeny Malkin and all the crew with the Pittsburgh Penguins, and, of course, see Marc-Andre Fleury face his former team as well. So we'll do that during the show today. We'll also speak with Dave Tippett, senior advisor to NHL Seattle. He will join us in the second segment of the show, but the main part is we're going to be talking about the Winnipeg game. We'll look at previews of the game, give some different stuff on that as well. But certainly one of the people that was big in the series last year in Winnipeg, who's got some Winnipeg roots to him, Ryan Reeves. Gary Lawless had a chance to catch up with Revo yesterday before tonight's game.
You grew up, and I've watched you play in this building a lot. You like to play here?
Love playing here. Always physical games. You know, we had a little rivalry with St. Louis starting up, and because they came in our division, and you know, definitely carried them into the playoffs with us now.
How big a game do you think this is viewed from the other side, with the fact that Vegas knocked them out of the playoffs last year, and then went and got one of their top centers in the offseason?
I mean, for sure, they're playing really well, and we knocked them out last year, so obviously they want a little vengeance during the regular season. I'm sure they're going to be hungry. I'm sure they're going to be fired up for us.
What about you guys?
Oh, absolutely. They're one of the top teams in the league, and you know, we know that they want to come out here and you know, take us down, but I think we got to go with the same mindset. You know, they're one of the top teams in the league for a reason, and you know, we got to start taking down those teams.
Yeah, and I like what he said that there. We got to start taking down those teams, and we've talked about it before. You can only face the teams that are on the schedule in front of you. But the one knock that I have heard some from some of the people out there that are still on the fence a little bit, that still don't think that maybe this team is quite the Magic of last year's team, when they talk about the winning streak and the fact that they have been winning at a very successful rate recently, the one thing that I do hear brought up sometimes is, well, they're not playing the best teams out there. Well, first off, every time you play out there, you play a team that's an NHL-caliber team. And the reality is you can't get up for every single game. You don't get up for all 82 games. The Tampa Bay Lightning right now are head and shoulders above everybody record-wise in the NHL. They just lost to the Islanders. Does that mean the Islanders are a better team than them? No. The Islanders came to play. Tampa Bay maybe in that game didn't. So when you win games like the game in Chicago, when you win some of the other games, the Kings beat them the first two times this season. Then Vegas came back and took care of business. You do have to try to get up. And you always hear teams say that they're ready to play, when in reality you can't be completely 100% ready every single game. This game tonight is a game that I do believe they'll be ready for, because I think both teams have circled it.
I mean, I understand the thought process that, well, this team went on a win streak, but they weren't playing the best competition. So it was Colorado, Los Angeles, Arizona, Los Angeles, Anaheim, New Jersey, New York, and then the loss to San Jose. Okay, I get it. I understand that. But good teams can get up to play better teams. Great teams beat the teams they're supposed to and still get up to play better teams. I hear you. I understand that. But throughout this entire season, this team hasn't been healthy, and they were able to string together a win streak, and they've been very, very good since Nate Schmidt came back into the lineup. One of the best teams in the NHL. They're currently one of the best teams in the NHL. You can't, like, enjoy it. You know what I mean? Like, enjoy it. Enjoy the fact that this team was able to string together a win streak. Against subpar competition or not, it's still a win streak. It's still accomplish the goal of getting them to where they are in the standings, which is comfortably in a playoff spot. I get it, but you can't throw away the schedule. And you're right, Frank. Every team that they played, last I checked, is an NHL team. So you have to beat NHL teams. Everyone's got to play the same amount of games against other teams, except for the Eastern Conference playing the Western Conference and the Western Conference playing the Eastern Conference. But you're all playing the same competition. So at the end of the year, some teams are going to have more points than the other teams, and they're playing the same competition. You still have to win the games you're supposed to win. I don't understand being upset that this team is playing and winning the games that they're supposed to win.
I just basically chalk it up to a simple fact, and a lot of people don't want to hear this, and a lot of people don't want to admit to it. A lot of people are just negative, and people do dwell on the negativity of stuff. Some people can't enjoy the simple things in life. Like you said, you got a winning streak, enjoy it. They're playing well, enjoy it. They lose one game to San Jose, and it was a back-and-forth game that could have gone either way. 39 seconds basically determined that game. But, we're still not beating the good teams. It's one game. It's still a lot of hockey left, and most likely, at least it seems like a very high probability, they will face each other again in the playoffs.
I mean, this team blew two games consecutively going into the Christmas break to subpar teams. You want to be angry about that, be angry about that. But the fact that this team then made an adjustment and then they were able to string off seven consecutive wins against teams they are supposed to win, and yet now they're still a problem. Like, just get over it. Allow yourself, if you're a fan, to be happy about the fact that they put 14 points out of a possible 14 points in the bank. Because it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you win all your games against Arizona. It doesn't matter if you win all your games against LA. It doesn't matter if you lose to San Jose every single time you play them in the regular season, which they haven't. They beat San Jose earlier this season. But it doesn't matter. All you need to do is get to the playoffs. And though that seven-game win streak against lesser competition is going to help the Golden Knights get into the playoffs.
No, I completely. I've never been accused of being the most positive person in the world, but I completely agree with you. I do think that people, they're dwelling on it too much. It's not last year. The team has said that it's not last year. They're having a great season. They are solidly in a playoff spot right now. Enjoy this ride, and like you mentioned, since Nate Schmidt's been back, they've been incredible. What if Nate Schmidt played the first 20 games, and we still haven't seen this team 100% healthy?
No, they haven't been healthy. And I mean, let's talk about the San Jose game for a minute, because I know a lot of people are going to point to that and say, well, they played a good team in San Jose, and they weren't able to get it done. Okay, I totally get that. Who was your third-line center in that game? Oscar Lindberg. Centering a line of Ryan Carpenter and Valentin Zhikov, they gave Gerard Gallant 9 minutes of game action. And that was your third line. I mean, like, let's be honest. That was a winnable game. The Golden Knights, to me, outplayed the San Jose Sharks. But elite players on both sides led to the ebbs and flows in that game. And Tomáš Hertl was really, really good, and Martin Jones was fantastic. So, I mean, what do you want to do? You're not going to win all 82 games. And yes, I get the idea, well, you play San Jose, you can't get the job done. Look at what the roster was that day. It wasn't the strongest roster you could have put on the ice. It just wasn't. And you still were this close to beating that team.
Yeah, probably should have beat them. But you know what? It didn't happen. But, again, you're right. Enjoy what they have. They have four more games this month. Enjoy every one of them. Because I guarantee you that all the hockey fans out here, they're going to be jonesing for the All-Star break and the bye week going, when can we play a hockey game again? I know we're kind of looking forward to it, but at the same time, by the end of it, we're going to be more than ready for hockey to be back. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio. Tickets for the Pittsburgh game coming up on today's show. Well, the Winnipeg game is tonight. It's a 5 o'clock, a little after 5 o'clock start time. We'll be on at 4:30 with the pregame show here on Fox Sports Radio. And, of course, Gerard Gallant, one of the huge reasons for the success of this team. The media also caught up with Turk earlier yesterday to talk about tonight's game, and they basically asked him if the team was ready for the Winnipeg Jets.
I don't know. You'll have to ask them, but it's just another game for us. I mean, it was a great run last year. It was a great playoff series against them. But to me, it's last year, and we're moving on from that.
Did you like your game on Saturday in Chicago, or parts of it? And how do you want your group to play tomorrow?
Yeah, I didn't think we had a good start to the first period, Gary, in Chicago. But I thought after that we played good, solid hockey and, you know, battled back and found a way to get the big 2 points there. So want us to play. We played really well, good hockey for the last month or so, and I want us to continue to do that, play, you know, make strong defensive play in the D zone, make sure we're working hard and playing the same game.
It looks from upstairs anyways that when your guys are making simple and quick decisions, everything kind of goes much better for them. When they try and complicate things, it gets a little messier.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, when you move the puck quick and you're skating quick, that's our game, and that's how, you know, we play a lot better. So the quicker we move the puck, the better we are.
Is Paul Stastny brought into this group after watching him as an opponent last year to having him now every day?
Yeah, just a consistent guy that plays the game the right way, face-offs, kills penalties, plays power play, does everything for us. And, you know, we missed him for 2.5 months, so that was real tough. And, you know, I think he played 3 games for us, and then he got hurt. So, but, you know, lately he's been real, real good and real solid for us. And he's a part of our turnaround since the last first 25 games or so.
You won the season series against these guys last year, the regular season series. Is there value in these games and establishing something against a team that you couldn't be seeing down the road in the playoffs?
No, it doesn't. For me, it's 2 points, it's a big game. I mean, you know, down the road in the playoffs, I'm not even looking close to that. The good thing about this team is they're a great team, and it's going to be a good game. There's two good hockey teams playing against each other, so for me, there's nothing more than that for me. It's 2 points, you're playing against a real good team, and if you don't play well, you're going to lose.
There you have Gerard Gallant yesterday speaking with the media about tonight's game against Winnipeg. And he kind of echoed a couple of the things that you had mentioned there when we were just talking about it, Ryan. It's like, yes, it's the regular season games, they don't mean anything as far as what goes on in the playoffs or whatever. That's a different series than that should you meet the same team again. Maybe you know a little bit more familiarity. But the bottom line is, it's another chance for 2 points. That was the whole theme last year, and it hasn't changed this year. It seems like people have kind of forgotten that idea or whatever. It's 2 points every game, and they're chasing two teams right now. San Jose is slightly ahead of them. Calgary, who continues to score goals at an incredible rate, they're also ahead of them. You don't have to be in first place at the end of the season to have success in the playoffs. It worked out for Vegas last year that they were, and it does give you home ice. There's advantages to it. But the team hasn't been completely healthy, but every time you have a chance for 2 points, if you get them, you still need help down the road, but you can also help yourself because they will be facing those other teams that they are competing with right now down the road. The bottom line is you have to take care of business against quality teams like Winnipeg as well as the other teams that you're supposed to beat.
Well, again, it's this game is a measuring stick, and it's a little bit premature to really call it that, right? Because there's no Dustin Byfuglien, and when you look at the Golden Knights, there's presumably no Riley Smith, no Colin Miller, no Eric Halla, no Will Carrier. I mean, it's these two teams, the next time they play, are likely going to look very different. They're going to play very different, and that's something to keep in mind here. For the Golden Knights, it doesn't matter how they get 2 points. That they get 2 points, that's all that matters. You need to get into the playoffs. You're never going to win a Stanley Cup if you can't make the playoffs. It's impossible. So every 2 points matters. Every single game matters, especially when you think that San Jose has games in hand, Calgary has games in hand. You don't really worry too much about Nashville and Winnipeg because they're in a different division and they're going to be fighting it out amongst each other. But if you can be in somewhere in the top three in your division, if you're the Golden Knights, you're guaranteed a playoff spot. So that's all you got to worry about. I get that fans want to know how this team stacks up against the best of the best in this division, in this conference. But it doesn't really matter right now. Because likely, the next time these two teams play, they're going to look very different. Same thing with San Jose. Same thing with Calgary. The next time the Golden Knights play either one of those teams, they're going to look different than they did the last time.
Also important to take note, too, that this is a final road game of the month of January. After this game, they will have 3 home games. They'll have 3 days off after this game tonight. Then Pittsburgh on Saturday. Again, we'll have tickets for the Penguin game coming up a little bit later on in the show. Then the 21st, remember, that game on that Monday is going to be an early game. It's a 3 o'clock game because it's MLK Day, which is a little bit ironic to me because today's his actual birthday, but they want those three-day weekends, so it's always on a Monday. And then they wrap it up against Nashville, another quality opponent, which will be another statement game and a measuring stick game the 23rd before they go on their All-Star break, and then, of course, the bye week coming up. So I'm sure that they want to get a win here as well. And I know it sounds kind of silly to say, but it can be an undefeated road trip if they win today. It's only a 2-game road trip, but it's a chance for 4 points. You want to get the 4 points.
And that's kind of the beauty of having those longer road trips and playing more games on the road in the first half of the season is your road trips aren't as long in the second half. And, yeah, it's a 2-game road trip. It's a little bit more spread out than what the Golden Knights are used to. So it's a great opportunity to take away 4 points out of a possible 4 points on the road. And, you know, this team's been fantastic at home. Their road record has gotten significantly better since the start of the season. So, if you're the Golden Knights, you just got to keep going. You got to keep winning hockey games. Don't need to worry about anybody else. You've put yourself into a position right now after a very suboptimal start to just control your own destiny. You win hockey games, you're going to make the playoffs. You don't have to worry about anybody else. You don't need to rely on anyone else to lose or win or whatever. You're in a situation right now where if you continue to win your games, you're going to make the playoffs. It doesn't matter what anybody else does.
Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio. Time to look at our on-the-road game preview brought to you by Subaru of Las Vegas. Vegas and Winnipeg both head into tonight's action with the same amount of points, 60. However, they are in different places in their respective division. And also it should be pointed out that Winnipeg does have a few fewer games than Vegas. But both of these teams pretty close to each other, which you would expect with the parity that's in the league. The top teams are generally pretty close to each other, like I said before, with the exception of Tampa Bay, which is running away with it. But as Tampa Bay can tell you from last year, doesn't mean that you're going to win the Stanley Cup. Doesn't even mean you're going to get there.
I mean, Tampa's on a pace where they could be the best regular season team to ever play in the NHL, which is ridiculous. But, I look at this game no differently than I look at any other game for the Golden Knights, especially when you consider that they're not at 100%. You've got to get pucks in deep. You've got to be really, really hard to deal with on the forecheck, and you've got to make life difficult. Not for the Josh Morrisseys, not for the Jacob Trubas, but for the Dmitry Kulikovs and the Joe Morrows. You've got to push around the lesser defensemen of the Winnipeg Jets, and you've got to force them into some mistakes. If you're able to do that, then I think you'll get some turnovers, you'll get some high-quality scoring chances, and then it's just a matter of burying those. Kind of the thing that I'm going to be paying most attention to, I guess, is Dave Shane reported this earlier today, that Gerard Gallant doesn't expect there to be any changes to the lineup. So that would assume Brandon Peary is on the top line with William Karlsson and Jonathan Marchessault. I want to see that line play more north-south. And we've talked about this with Marchessault and Karlsson for a long, long time. They seem to lose the puck a lot entering the zone right around the blue line. They throw that extra pass, and it's either right in the skates or a little too far or a little too behind or whatever the case may be. But anytime they introduce that east-west movement when they're breaking the puck into the offensive zone, it usually results in losing possession and having to spend 15, 20, 30 seconds either forechecking to get it back or just defending in your own zone. So I would love to see that line in particular play more north-south, get pucks in deep, allow Brandon Peary to get in and try to win some puck battles, have William Karlsson win some puck battles. Jonathan Marchessault, he's got a lot of dog in him, got a lot of fight in him. He can win battles. And just get offensive zone time, cycle pucks, try to figure out a different way because it hasn't been working very often recently for this line. They've got to figure out a way to factor in on the score sheet a little bit more.
We talked about some of the players with Vegas that will be sitting out the game due to injury. We talked about Dustin Bufflin missing the game for Winnipeg. What does it mean to the Jets to have Tyler Myers back in the lineup?
I mean, it's huge. He's a really, really good defenseman, and he solidifies that second line, that second D pair. He's a big body. He's got a very long reach, so he's able to take up a lot more space, especially down low, and he's able to get to pucks quicker and move them up the ice quicker. So it improves what Winnipeg's going to try to do on their defensive side of the puck. But again, it's all about whether or not the Golden Knights can close, and they've got to play him physically. They've got to get in on those forechecks and lay some hits down. You've got to make it difficult on Tyler Myers to move the puck. If you don't make it difficult on him, he's going to make the right play, and it's going to be in and out of the zone quickly for the Winnipeg Jets.
Now, there's another player for the Jets that's being reported on their website, Ben Chiarot. He is day-to-day with a lower body injury. It is listed right now that he will not play tonight against the Vegas Golden Knights. Any effect on that one?
I mean, I think it's always an effect if you're missing a player. You know what I mean? I just how much of it, it's really kind of up in the air. He's played 45 games. He's got 4 goals, 4 assists, 8 points. Plays about 18 minutes a night. So is it going to affect what they do from a goal-scoring perspective? No, not really. But is it going to affect what they do from a defensive side, defensive angle? Absolutely. Is it going to affect maybe their matchups and their lineups a little bit? Yes, of course. But I don't know that I really want to hear anyone else's excuses when it comes to injury, especially when you look at the Golden Knights and what they've had to battle through all year. So Winnipeg will find a way to win, and the Jet, and the Golden Knights are going to try to find a way to win.
Now, it should also be pointed out, too, of course, maybe the biggest name that will be missing from the lineup outside of Buffen for the Jets is Connor Hellebuyck will not be in goal tonight.
Yeah, I think that one's huge. Connor Hellebuyck staked his claim last year to being one of the elite goalies in this league, or at least trying to be one of those elite goalies. And Laurent Brossoit is going to get the start. He's played 10 games, 23 goals allowed. So,
including a 4-2 Jets victory over the Red Wings the last time out.
Yep, so 210 goals against average, 939 save percentage. He's no slouch, right? So one shutout on the season. I mean, Brossoit, he's an interesting one because he wasn't great in Edmonton. And you wondered, well, is it that he's not very good or is it that the Edmonton Oilers aren't very good? I think we're getting our answer to that. Brossoit on a very good team with depth defensively has put up great numbers. Brossoit on the Oilers was not very good. So I don't know that it's Brossoit being a difference maker as much as it is the Winnipeg Jets are just really good at playing hockey.
All right, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio, your home for Vegas Golden Knights hockey. Frank Harness, Ryan the Hockey Guy Wallace here at Lindo Michoacan. The lunch rush is over. The dinner rush will be coming a little bit later on. Great time for you to come in here if you want some great food. And, of course, if you're working, you can't make it till after work, join us for the game tonight, 4:30 pregame, puck drop a little after 5 p.m. When we come back, we will talk to Dave Tippett from Seattle. He is the senior advisor to NHL Seattle. We'll do that. We'll have tickets to give away for the Pittsburgh Penguin game. Lots more to get to here on a game day Tuesday. It's the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio, your home for Vegas Golden Knights hockey. Welcome back, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio, your home for the Vegas Golden Knights. Frank Harness, Ryan the Hockey Guy Wallace here at Lindo Michoacan, DI and Eastern, getting ready for tonight's game. Pre-game at 4:30. Puck drop a little after 5 with Dan Duva and, of course, Gary Lawless bringing you all the action. We'll be here throughout the game tonight as well. waiting for Dave Tippett to give us a call here to talk about the new Seattle Hockey Club and what's going on up in Seattle as the Emerald City is getting ready to welcome the NHL to their town. But while we're waiting for Dave, I thought I'd throw in a couple other things going around the league real quick here, Ryan. And we will postpone that because Dave Tippett is indeed joining us now. Dave Tippett, Senior Advisor, NHL Seattle, joining us here on the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio. Dave, thank you very much for making some time. And I guess since we knew you were going to talk about you today, talking with you today, I guess the weather decided to play that game too here because it's a rainy day in Vegas.
What are you saying? That it's rainy in Seattle?
Yeah, it seems like it is quite often.
Yeah.
All right, Dave.
No, it's good, good to be with you guys.
Dave, what ultimately led to your decision to kind of take on this new role with Seattle?
Well, you know, I had a relationship with Tim Lewicki, who is his group is involved in rebuilding the Key Arena here. He reached out to me last spring and just talked about you know, what they were trying to do in Seattle. And Tim's brother came on board, Todd. And I met with him and some of the ownership, and just sounded like a real interesting project, and started kind of working away at it. I've been here ever since.
So it kind of in that role as senior advisor, how do you look at success, or how might you define your success maybe 3, 4, 5 years down the road?
Well, I mean, it's hard to really get into the success part of it right now because – basically, what you're doing is just building infrastructure, and you know, we haven't even started getting to the point where we're looking at players yet. Really, I'm the only hockey person on the whole staff. Most of it is all to do with you know, corporate sales and ticket sales and the building of the practice facility and redoing of the Key Arena. So it's a lot of infrastructure stuff before hockey stuff, but all stuff that, you know, I was very fortunate to be a player for a long time, be a coach for a long time, and now this is kind of another aspect of the game that, you know, in those positions you don't get to see very much, so it's been real interesting for me.
I've noticed you've mentioned the Key Arena a couple times here, and certainly that's going to be the venue where the team is playing at. How are the renovations going with that? And certainly part of success of sports in any city, sometimes it is about location. Is the Key Arena in the right area in Seattle to make this work more? Because I know I've heard some of the people say that one of the reasons that down in Arizona, for instance, why the team might be struggling a little bit is because it's not necessarily right where the hockey fans are in that particular market.
Well, here it's right downtown. It's in a park downtown, so it's in a place where there's lots of people around. I mean, the one in Arizona is kind of out in Glendale. It's, you know, it's a long way from the center of the city, but you're right in Seattle Center, and I would be remiss. I call it the Key Arena. That used to be the name. I think it's called Seattle Center now, before there's probably a naming rights come on it. But the renovations are just getting underway, and It's a interesting project because basically it's going to be a brand new arena with leaving the old roof on it because the roof has been named a historical monument. So it's going to be an unbelievable project. I've seen a lot of the blueprints and the renderings of it. It's going to be a great arena, and right in downtown in a park, I think it'll do very well.
I mean, is there a more Seattle thing than having an arena right in the middle of a park?
Yeah, it's you know, if you look at it, the park is where the World's Fair was a long time ago, and you got lots of people in there for that. The Sonics played here, you know, the women's Storm team has played there, so it's going to be a good venue. And if it you know, when things were announced, they sold 10,000 tickets in 12 minutes here, and right now I think we're sitting at 32,000 season ticket deposits with another 10,000 on the waiting list. So the people obviously think that the arena's in the right spot if they're doing those kind of things.
All right, Dave, you mentioned the infrastructure is kind of ticket sales, not necessarily hockey related, but do you have kind of a rough outline or just some timeline benchmarks that you want to hit when it comes to general manager, coach, scouting team, all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, we've had long conversations about that, but really we were geared up to start in 2020, and then we got pushed back a year, so those timelines have kind of changed. The one that we have an internal debate about is to whether to hire a general manager 2 years out or do similar as what Vegas did, where you got George McPhee in about 15 months out or something like that. So that'll be the one debate that we get into this summer, whether we think there's advantages to hiring a guy 2 years out. But really the guts of the hockey operations will be similar as Vegas, where you hire him a year out and scout for a year and hopefully come up with some good scouts that come up with some good players.
Hey, you mentioned the getting that inaugural season pushed back a little bit. Where do you stand on that? Is it, I don't want to say frustrating to have to wait an extra year, or does it kind of afford you some more time to really assess exactly what you want to do?
Well, the reality is it affords more time to get the buildings done. That's what was the key driver behind it. We we talked about the possibility of starting on the road for 8 or 10 games, and I just looked at it, you can't take the chances if something goes wrong and the building's not done on time. But I look at, and Vegas was a very unique situation, but they played 2 games on the road and they came home for 7 games. I think they went 6-1 in those 7 games, and it set the tone for their whole season. And you don't want to be a brand-new expansion team and have to start playing your first 8 or 10 games on the road. That's not the way to start a franchise. So I think everybody was in agreement that pushing it back a year will give us the time we needed to make sure that we're ready.
Dave Tippett, Senior Advisor, NHL Seattle, joining us here. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio, your home for the Vegas Golden Knights. Dave, when it comes to putting the team together and getting everything in order, how much do you take out of what Vegas did here with the Golden Knights? And almost maybe even more importantly, how much do you think other teams learned from maybe some of the mistakes that they made in letting George McPhee build the team that he did and maybe get a little bit more out of their franchises than they initially thought they could or wanted them to?
Well, history speaks for itself in both respects. I think you're going to see general managers around the league are obviously went through it once, and they'll probably be smarter on the other end. On the other side, we have the benefit of seeing a lot of things that Vegas did and things that Vegas did very well. So, you can see how things maybe flush out for us. But the rules being the same, I think other teams are going to be smarter, but it gives us a chance to also figure out exactly what Vegas did and why they had so much success.
Now, Dave, kind of piggybacking off of that, when you initially saw the roster for Vegas after the expansion draft, did you have any idea that they would have such a remarkable inaugural season and go all the way to the Stanley Cup final?
Well, I don't think anybody would have predicted that, but you knew that with the rules in place, just compare the rules now to the past expansions, and the rules in place were going to allow them to get good players. That's exactly what happened. I mean, you're going to, instead of getting the 12th or 13th player off a team, you're getting the 8th or 9th player off a team, which is a big difference. And with the goaltending situation, instead of getting a third goaltender on a team, you're getting a second goaltender. Or sometimes, like Fleury, Pittsburgh was fortunate enough to have 2 number one goaltenders, so you're able to get one. So the rules allow team to be competitive. I think everybody knew that they were going to be competitive. Now, were they going to go to the Stanley Cup Finals? I would say there wasn't a lot of bets on that, but seeing you're in Vegas, maybe there was. I'm not sure, but they were going to have a competitive team. I think George and Kelly McCrimmon did an excellent job of putting a group of players together that were very motivated.
With the success that the Vegas Golden Knights had, making it all the way to the Stanley Cup Final, does that put more pressure on Seattle to be successful right out of the gate, or are people going to kind of realize that maybe it was the perfect storm here in Vegas with everything that came together, and when it all is said and done, the bottom line is it is still going to be an expansion team?
No, but see, I think people could have said that if you came into the second year and struggled, but this year they're a good team again. And you look at it, I think basically what Vegas did is they raised the bar, but they showed that the rules that are in place allows you to be a competitive team. So I think that'll be the bar for us. I mean, you've got rules that allow you to be competitive. If you do things right and you pick good players, you have a chance to be competitive.
Do you have a front runner for the name that you would prefer this organization to be?
I wish I had a dollar for everybody that's asked me that. I'd be the front runner for a very rich man. Now it's they're still working away at it. It started, I think there was and the original list was probably 700 names or something like that, and it got down to 100, and now they're probably in the 20s. So eventually it'll whittle down, and we'll come up with a good name.
You know, I remember when it came to naming the team out here, because everybody wanted to have people vote in on it or the public pick it or whatever, but Bill Foley said that one of the things that did maybe surprise him a little bit was the fact that it was difficult because there's so many teams out there with trademarks and different things in that. How difficult is that, or haven't you really guys even really gotten into the process of that yet? Because you might think that this is a great name or something like that, and somebody else says, wait a second, we already own that name. So there's a little bit more to naming the team than just picking something cool that you think everyone's going to like.
That's exactly it. And I've sat through some of those meetings where, you know, you hear a name and there's ones that I've said, oh, you know, that's pretty good, but then you go through the branding or the trademark of it and you say, oh no, that's not going to work. And then there's other ones where maybe the name doesn't jump out at you, but then as you go through the branding it sounds better. So there is a lot more to it than just hey, this is a great name, let's call us this and you move on. There's a whole process of branding and legal and who owns the naming rights, and it's a big process to put a name on a franchise.
All right, Dave, I know that you're a little ways out from hiring a general manager and a head coach and all that, but when it comes to the current landscape in the NHL and kind of the direction that the game is going, is there an overall philosophy that you're going to want associated with the Seattle hockey team?
Well, it's obviously the league, the speed and skill that come with the with the game right now is imperative. It's turned into a young man's game that, you know, every night there's you see great plays, you see high skill, high speed, great goaltending. So you've got to evolve with the league. So we will put a criteria together of the kind of team that we think can be successful. We'll put a criteria together of, you know, the style of general manager or the type of general manager we'd like to get in here, and build our hockey operations around that. So there's, you know, we'll do our due diligence, and we'll hopefully come up with some very good prospects.
And Dave, you mentioned that this is kind of a new endeavor for you within hockey, but a little bit different than what you've done. Do you miss coaching? And if so, do you ever see yourself returning to that?
You never say never. I mean, there are nights when I'm sitting at home watching games on TV and getting engaged in the game, and I would be lying to you if I didn't tell you I sat there and second-guessed some coaches or thought what I'd do in those situations. So you miss I miss some of that action in it, but also it's an intriguing, you know, situation here. There's not many people get to be involved with starting a team from the ground up, especially, I mean, I've been involved in pro hockey now for about 35 years, so it's you know, it's just something new that kind of every day you go to work and there's something new happening and it's intriguing and you know, it's different from coaching or playing, but it's still a lot of fun. So we'll see where things go in the future, but right now it's been really engaging and I've enjoyed it.
Senior advisor NHL Seattle Dave Tippett joining us here, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio. Dave, real quick, for people that maybe hear your title and wonder what the heck does that mean, how would you describe exactly what your job is right now and what your typical day entails, or if there is such a thing as a typical day?
Well, the days are different. Today is a big media day today. I've spent some time with ESPN. I've got an afternoon radio show in Seattle here talking about hockey. I'm talking to you guys. I've got to do Sportsnet in about an hour, and then I've got to go to a filming of the Russian Five this evening. So it's a busy day that way, but a lot of my days right now, I was traveling all last week. We've got to find out where we want to put our American League hockey team and start a franchise. There's lots to do with our practice facility, designing the practice rink and dressing room stuff. Lots to do with the spaces at Seattle Center, the main arena, doing those spaces. So pretty much anything to do with hockey right now that is with the infrastructure gets thrown across my plate, and a little bit of media also. So that's what I'm doing these days.
All right, Dave. Well, really appreciate the time. It was great talking to you. Look forward to seeing you maybe when you come down here to Vegas. Maybe you can stop by the show and say hi there. And congratulations on the team up in Seattle. And congratulations on getting an all-star team, an all-star game in the first 7 years or so as well, because I'm sure that we out here in Vegas would like to have that as well.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised by the commissioner the other day, so it's good to hear it for the franchise here.
All right. Thanks a lot, Dave.
All right. Thanks, guys. Take care.
All right, Dave Tippett there, Senior Advisor, NHL Seattle. Good guy and a busy guy, but, boy, what a fun time. And it is interesting, too, because of what the Vegas Golden Knights said, and that's why I figured we had to ask that question, but I wanted to throw it out there because the Vegas Golden Knights have changed the landscape. Like he mentioned, you get players from 30 teams. You get top 8 players now instead of the top 16 or something. There are a lot of differences, and there are advantages there. They're expected to be successful right out of the gate.
Yeah, I want to talk to Dave periodically over the next 2 years. Just one, to see how much his daily tasks change. And then mainly because once hockey decisions are made, once you're looking at scouting, once you're looking at a GM, once you're looking at a coach, you can start to see what this team might eventually be, what their philosophy is going to be, how they're going to make their claim in the NHL, and you can start to kind of read what they're going to maybe do in the expansion draft. So I think it's just a fascinating idea to kind of follow this story. And for nothing else, I want to continue to ask Dave every single time we have him on what he thinks the name should be, because he seemed to really like that question.
Yeah. All right. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show. When we wrap it up, it's great to go into the Hockey Hall of Fame, but it's nice when somebody from hockey goes into a National Hall of Fame. Somebody in the hockey world will be doing that here in the not-too-distant future, but we need to give away tickets, my friend.
Yeah, and we're going to go with caller number 32. Obviously, NHL Seattle is the 32nd team in the NHL, so caller number 32. Frank's going to give you the number. You are going to see the Pittsburgh Penguins versus the Golden Knights.
So give us a call right now, caller 32 on the Southern Hills Baptist Church phone line, 702-876-1340, 702-876-1340. Back to wrap it up here on a Game Day Tuesday, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio. Welcome back. Wrapping it up here on a Game Day Tuesday, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio. Frank Harness, Ryan the Hockey Guy Wallace here at Lindo Michoacan. We'll be here for the pregame for tonight's game against Winnipeg, 4:30. Puck drop a little after 5. Congratulations to Mike. He won the tickets for the game coming up against Pittsburgh this Saturday. Also want to give a shout-out to Barbara. Barbara swung by here. She wanted to say hi. We were on the air live, but hopefully she's still on her drive home. Barbara, thank you very much. You're always welcome at the remotes here when we're at Lindo Michoacan, or, of course, Beer House after the games. Quickly as well, Mike Doc Emrick, the lead play-by-play voice for telecast of NHL on NBC, will be inducted into the National Sports Media Association Hall of Fame during the 60th annual awards weekend in Winston-Salem, June 22nd through 24th. He'll be joined by Bob Lee of ESPN, Peter King of NBC Sports, and Tony Kornheiser. Nice to see when the NHL gets some their broadcasters in there as well. Doc Emrick does a great job.
What took him so long? He's been fantastic for years. Maybe it's Pierre McGuire. I don't know. Maybe Pierre's holding him back.
Yeah, could be. But bottom line is he's going in. Still love listening to him every time he's on the air. All right, we'll talk to you at 4:30. Stick around. The Dr. T.C. Martin's up next. Thanks for listening. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio. Your home for Golden Knights hockey.